The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the SCU show. This is actually episode 20. I am your host, SCU. And as you can tell, I'm all fired up today. There's so much going on. Like, everything's just looking up for me right now, especially in 2018. Like, I'm over 2017. I want 2018 to come, because 2018 is going to be a really good year for me, for my websites, for just everything's going to be much better next year. And I can't wait for it. What I can't wait for is to talk about the Patriots again. I mean, I believe I talked about it last week. Probably not. Probably this is going to be the first time. The dynasty is dying, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a Patriots fan, you might not want to listen to this. If you're a Patriots realist, you will want to listen to this, because the New England Patriots are done for. They are not the same team. Oh, they beat the Jets. They overcame a 14-point deficit. This Patriots team is back. All right, we are on top of the division, 4-2. Okay, what does that mean? That means you're going to win the Super Bowl again? No, they're not winning the Super Bowl again, I can tell you that right now. That is guaranteed. The New England Patriots, as of right now, not a Super Bowl team. Not a Super Bowl contender. Yeah, you got to beat the Jets, though. Oh, it was a great game. Yeah, it was a great game that the Patriots should have lost. Offense struggled. Defense struggled big time. The Jets should have won that game. The game should have gone to overtime. And if you watch this game, you know what I'm talking about. There was a play where the Jets appeared to have scored a touchdown. But after review by the referees, the play was called a touchback. It appeared that the player, I remember whose name was, fumbled out of the end zone. And the ball was turned over to the Patriots. That was a really bad call, if you ask me. It was a really bad call. The refs messed it up. And they cost the Jets a win. Honestly, and I wrote about this, or I had been thinking about this. If you look back at the Patriots' schedule, they should not be at 4-2 at all. Like, clearly they are not a 4-2 team. This is a much worse team than 4-2. Way worse than 4-2. Like, first of all, you have the Chiefs game. We'll start with there. You have the Kansas City game. You give up a whole bunch of yards to a rookie running back who... Nobody knew who he was. I didn't know who he was. I remember talking to my producer, Sean Garmer, of W2Net.com. He told me, hey, you should believe Kareem Hunt. This guy's going to do so good. Awesome stuff. Who? And that's what I told him. I was like, who is that? I don't even know who that is. Why would I think big of a guy that I don't even know who he is? I've never heard of his name before. He's a guy at Toledo. I wasn't going to buy into him until I saw something. And then I saw something against New England, and I said, okay, maybe this is something. But going to that game, New England is expected to go 16-0 and all this other stuff. And now I'm sitting here, we're about to be in week 7. This Patriots team should have one win. And you think I'm crazy for saying that, but you look back at this team. Look back at what they've done. Look at the schedule. Let me pull up the schedule real fast. The way they've played, the teams they've played, the games they've won, they should have won. Really biased, I would say. Not biased. I don't know the word, but the fact of the matter is the Patriots should be a one-win team, not four. Well, let's look at you get the first game, the Chiefs won fair and square because the defense couldn't stop them. That's a loss. That's a 1-1 right there. They beat New Orleans. At the time, New Orleans had the worst defense in the NFL. Now they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. They won 3 in a row. 9 takeaways in the last 3 games for the Saints. But back in week 2, they were nothing. They were nobody. That's a win for the Patriots. They're 1-1. And then you get into other games. Houston. Deshaun Watson outplayed Tom Brady. Nobody can question that Tom Brady got outplayed by Deshaun Watson. And then there was the play before he threw the game-winning touchdown to Brandon Cooks. He almost got picked off. You give a hair of a second later. The defender holds onto the ball. It's an interception. The game is over. And the Patriots fall to 1-2. Carolina lost. They lost. Cam Newton threw three touchdowns and upset the Patriots on the road. That's 1-3. Then they hit Thursday night game in Tampa. They only lost because Nick Folk missed 3 field goals. Nick Folk kicks those field goals. It's a 2019 Tampa Bay Bucks win. And the Patriots sit at 1-4. And then there's the Jets game. They all were down 14-0. the refs definitely blew that call against the Jets. Or the, it was a that was a touchdown. If you saw that play, that was a touchdown. There was no way that was a touchback. It shouldn't have been a touchback. Patriots should be sitting at 1-5 on the season, but somehow, some way, they are 4-2 on top of the AFC East. And I can't believe I can't believe it. They are not the best team in the league. Clearly, nobody can tell me that they're the best team in the league because they're not. They play bad on offense. They're playing bad on defense. Like, very bad. It's just so bad. I'm not anti-Patriots. I'm a realist. My best friend is a Patriots fan. She told me, "You're being such a hater. Why are you hating on the Patriots?" I'm not hating on the Patriots. I'm hating on how they're playing, because they're playing like the franchise that we've all known, come to know and love. And this tells me that this is the beginning of an... And this gets to my main point for the show. To start off the show, I should say. This is the end of the dynasty for the Patriots. Like, this is it. Brady said, like I said, I believe I said this before, Brady says he has 5 good years left. Really, he has no good years left. It's over. I mean, and you look back at the other dynasties in the NFL. Green Bay in the 60s. They won 2 Super Bowls and that was it. Steelers in the 70s. 4 Super Bowls. 4 good years. That was it. Niners in the 80s. 4 good years. That was it. Cowboys in the 90s. 3 good years. That was it. Now, I mean, you can go look at New England 2000s. 3 good years. That was it. Yeah, they won a Super Bowl last year, so. They won a Super Bowl 2-3 years ago, so. Flukes. That doesn't mean they're a good dynasty. Dynasties win in consecutive seasons, not 3 consecutive years, and then, you know, 10 years later, they're good again. That's not a dynasty make. Those, I'm not counting the 2014 and 2016 seasons for the Patriots as their dynasty seasons, as they're not. Those are seasons when the Patriots won the Super Bowl. In which both should have been Super Bowl losses. Jermaine Kearse made that catch against Malcolm Butler. The Seahawks should have run on second and one from second and goal from the one. They should have ran it. But Pete Carroll set it to throw, and Malcolm Butler got in the way of Carter Lockett, giving them a win in Super Bowl 49. And then in Super Bowl 51, defense won championship, and Matt Ryan, as Matt Ryan always does, has choked. But Matt Ryan is part of another point I'm going to make a little later. But yeah, this is the end of Dynasty. The Patriots Dynasty died in 2005, if you want to go that far. That Dynasty died in 2005. They won their 3 Super Bowls, and they did nothing until 10 years later. They didn't do anything. That was Super Bowl. Bad playoff losses, especially to Baltimore. Baltimore handled them a couple of times before they won a Super Bowl again. New England, your Dynasty is dead. Brady is still one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback of all time, but your dynasty is no more. There is no more Patriots dynasty. It's over with. There has been no dynasty in the NFL since 2005. If you want to go technical, it's 2006. But that's another story for another time. So that's how I want to start the show. Patriots dynasty is dead. They're showing it this year. They showed it 10 years ago. They've been showing it the past 10 years. It's been 12 years now. The past 12 years. They have 2 good seasons and 10 seasons where they get knocked out of the playoffs. Either a heartbreak, dominating fashion, point being they choked. And then here's the big news. The big news coming out of the NFL is Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. He's out for the year, pretty much. 8 to 12 weeks. Just call it all. It's a done deal. He's not coming back this year. Why would they allow him to come back and then why would they allow him to come back and risk further injury? If I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm not risking any further injury for my future Hall of Fame quarterback. There's no way. So I am sticking with Brent Hundley, even though it's not the right choice. Stick it out for the rest of the year, see how it goes, and then Aaron Rodgers will be back for 2018. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong with Aaron Rodgers being injured, and that is that the NFC East is wide open. Let's start with that. I can't tell you who's going to win the NFC East now because Aaron Rodgers is out. The Packers are expected to win the NFC East every year after year, after year after year, because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is gone. So who's going to win the NFC North now? I said NFC East. I meant NFC North. Yet Detroit has the $135 million man, Matt Stafford. He's threw 3 touchdowns and a blast to the Saints last week. Another big, great performance. He's had those all season long. Plus, Golden Tate's been good help there. The defense has done well. So, they could be the Lions, right? But what about Minnesota? Minnesota's getting back Teddy Bridgewater this week. He gets to practice again this week for the first time in over a year. That's a blessing. Because remember when he played in 2014 and he did so well? Like, he was the rookie of the year that year. And then he got injured, and that was it. He even had a good year in his second year, too. So, I can't wait to see Teddy Bridgewater back. That is going to be a blessing in disguise for the Vikings. Should he play? He probably will play again this year. I don't know if he's going to start a quarterback or backup or whatever it may be. But they need to get rid of Sam Bradford, because I've said this over and over and on and on. Bradford is not a franchise quarterback. He's not winning you Super Bowl. He's not winning you a playoff game. Teddy Bridgewater has a better chance at both of those things. And Case Keenum's Case Keenum. He's having good luck in 2 games played this year, a couple of whatever games he's played. So what? Not winning you a playoff game. Not even taking you to the playoffs, Case Keenum. He's not taking you to the playoffs, let alone winning you a Super Bowl. Or winning you a playoff game. Bridgewater is the answer for Minnesota. They should look into starting him again, even though they're really looking to ease him into it due to his injury. I don't blame him there. You can't blame him for easing him into the injury. Well, what about Chicago? Yeah, no. I said this back in the show, started the show, back in April. I don't like Mitchell Trubisky. I've said this since. Don't like Mitchell Trubisky. He had 1 good year in North Carolina. That's what we're basing him off of. The fact that the guy went 2nd overall is a hoax. Absolute hoax that he went 2nd overall. Should have never been 2nd overall. And in 2 games played this year, he's shown once again that he's overrated. Couldn't do anything against Minnesota. And has completed less than 50% of passes against Baltimore, whose defense was good once and is no longer good. They only won because they held. The Bears won against the Ravens because their defense helped them win. Mitch Trubisky did nothing to contribute to that win, and he's got nothing to contribute to the Bears in his 2 games started so far this season. Overrated. Bears are not the team that's going to win the North. So it's going to be Minnesota or it's going to be Detroit. And depending on if Teddy Bridgewater does wind up starting when he's healthy, I do believe Minnesota could win the NFC North because that defense is much better than the Detroit's. But if Teddy Bridgewater does not start and they ease him into it, start him as backup for the rest of the season, maybe bring him in for 2018, yeah, the Detroit Lions are finally going to win the NFC North. They've waited years for this, waiting for Aaron Rodgers to go down. Now here's their chance. Now they have a chance to win the NFC North. They should take it. Come on. Do we really believe Brent Hundley's going to win the NFC North? I don't. I mean, everybody that does, well, might want to get checked. Because Brent Hundley has done nothing in the NFL since he came in. I remember when he came in. It was like 2010, I believe. I don't even know if I'm right on that. But you get the point. But forget the division, ladies and gentlemen. You think the division's wide open? Not only this Aaron Rodgers thing doesn't just affect the division. Aaron Rodgers' injury affects the conference. The NFC is wide open now. And there are 4 teams, not named Green Bay, or any team in the NFC North for that matter, that I can see representing the NFC in Super Bowl 52. There are 4 teams, and they're none of them Green Bay, and none of them are Atlanta either. Before I go into my 4 teams, I want to go on to this Atlanta thing here. Atlanta isn't a Super Bowl caliber team right now. They've lost 2 games at home this season. Matt Ryan has lost 2 games at home this season. This is a guy that had lost a home game until his 3rd year in the league. Clearly something's up. Not only that, but Matt Ryan has as many touchdowns as he does interceptions. 6-6. Something is wrong with this offense. And it's all Matt Ryan, because I always say that the quarterback leads the offense. So the fact that the Falcons are struggling right now is that, okay, you put some on the defense as well, because they can't stop the Bills, they can't stop the Miami, you can't stop Jay Cutler. That's the defense's fault. That's not Matt Ryan's fault. Matt Ryan is the cause for the offense struggling. That is not a team that's going to head to a Super Bowl this year. I said it before the season that the Falcons were going to make the Super Bowl. Now I'm just being proved right. And I love, there's nothing more than I love. There's nothing I love more than being proved right. Thank you, Atlanta, for proving me right. You are awesome. You have a good team, and that's fine. But you are not going to the Super Bowl this year. It's not going to be a repeat NFC champion this year. We will have a new champion. So now that I got that out of the way, here are my four teams that I feel are going to make, four teams that represent the NFC right now through Week 7 for Super Bowl 52. And two of these teams are in the same division, and two of these teams you didn't see come. Three of these teams you didn't see come. I'll start with the Dallas Cowboys, because everybody knew coming in that the Dallas Cowboys could definitely be a team that could go to the Super Bowl this year after heartbreak against Green Bay. And now that Aaron Rodgers is out, the Green Bay, they don't stand in their way. But Zeke's out. What that does? I said it before the season. Dak Prescott is the Cowboys. He was that last year. He is this year. Let's stop knocking. I'm not knocking Zeke. But Zeke doesn't run the offense. Dak does. Dak is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Through 2 years. His first 2 years, he's one of the best in the league. He's proven that. Because I love versatile quarterbacks. I've said this before. I love versatile quarterbacks. Quarterbacks that can pass and quarterbacks that can run. They're the best quarterbacks in the league. And Rodgers does it. That's why I feel like he's the GOAT. He does what Tom Brady does and he can run. Russell Wilson does it. He's very obviously very talented. Dak Prescott does it. Clearly very talented. One of the best quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion. Another thing that has me saying that Dallas could be the Super Bowl again is that their defense is much better than they're playing much better than I expected them to play, especially on the defensive line. The defensive line is pressured running backs, pressured quarterbacks. They just played so well. I'm very impressed with this D line. Secondary could use a little work, but I'm sure they'll. The Cowboys are smart. They've been smart for the past couple of years. The front office, the team, the coaching staff, very smart. They are going to figure out something that will make this secondary shine again like they did last year. They're going to find something. It's not there yet, but they're not far from figuring it out. So even in Philadelphia leads the NFC East, and they're probably everybody's NFC favorite right now with Green Bay being out. And that's fine. Even Philadelphia's doing well, but we saw what they did last year after a 3-0 start. They went 3-3 to win Philly. Finished 8-8. Missed the playoffs? Yeah. So I'm not buying into the Eagles yet. They're doing well. They're 5-1? That's fine. But let's see how they do the rest of the way. But anyway, the fact is that the Cowboys are now fighting for the Eagles for the division. Even if Dallas doesn't win the division, they could easily reach the Super Bowl as a wild card team. You can't count that out. Because how many wild card teams that have made the Super Bowl in the last 10 years? I can name at least 3 or 4. Two of them being the Giants. That's a different story for a different time. The fact of the matter is that the Cowboys, if they are a wild card team, can reach the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean anything. Alright, here comes some surprises. Now we're going to start with the two teams in the division. Carolina, first of all. Let's start with Carolina here. Cam in the offense. Well, Cam has done extremely well since that 34-13 loss to New Orleans. Two wins in a row. Two out of three wins. That's whatever. 7 touchdown passes in 3 games for Cam Newton. 7 touchdown passes in 3 games. They're 2-1. 2 impressive road wins and a loss against the Eagles defense, which is the best in the league. Which is why he threw 3 picks. One, I know wasn't his fault. It was tipped by the receiver. And then, of course, we have to give credit to Cam Newton, but we also have to give credit to this Panthers defense. The defense is what's bringing the Panthers up there, kind of like New Orleans, but we'll get to them in a second. That just blew my cover. But anyway, Carolina's defense is top 10 in 4 categories. They're 9th in points per game. They're 4th in passing yards allowed. They're 7th in rushing yards. No, excuse me. They're 4th in total yards allowed. 7th in passing yards and 5th in rushing yards allowed. That defense is what's having Carolina as one of the teams that I see go to the Super Bowl this year. It's crazy. I mean, Cam Newton's not having a 2015 MVP season, but he's having a good season. Nobody can knock that. And I just said it And I'll say it again, New Orleans. New Orleans has made a 360 on defense since week two since they got rammed by the Patriots. And the Patriots really... Tom Brady hit 3 touchdowns in the first quarter. And they were, each of them were like at least 20 or more yards. He just torched that Saints defense. But since then, the Saints defense has won... The Saints have won 3 in a row, first of all. And they've allowed 13 points. 0 points. And if you don't count the fourth quarter, they've allowed 10 points against Detroit. 23 points given up in 3 games. That's probably best in the league. I don't know that. I don't know. I don't go to stats like that. But that's pretty impressive, though. Not only that, but I don't believe they've yet turned the ball over. I could be wrong on that because I didn't watch the Detroit game. I didn't see any highlights. But through 4 games, New Orleans didn't commit a turnover. First team in NFL history to do that. They could also be the first team, or the fourth team, they would be the fourth team since 1998 to make the playoffs after an 0-2 start or something. It's something like that. I don't know. After an 0-2 start, everybody counted the Saints out, including me. I counted the Saints out, but now they're 3-2 on top of the NFC South, I believe, or tied, or somewhere around there. You get the point. The New Orleans Saints have improved so much. They're 3-2, half a game back, top of Atlanta for second in the NFC and NFC South. This Saints team is so improved. Drew Brees is doing so well. I see the 2009 team. This could be another Saints team that makes the Super Bowl. Don't be surprised if they do. And the fourth team that I have that could possibly reach the Super Bowl, the Los Angeles Rams. What? Yeah. Everyone's listening to this thinking I'm crazy. There's no way the Rams can make the Super Bowl. Well, why not? They've been the second biggest shock in the league this year behind the Jaguars because everyone thought the Jaguars spend millions of dollars on the defense again and they're going to have to do anything again. But, of course, Jacksonville has done something. Jared Goff has turned it around since last season. I did not like him coming out of Cal because the Rams picked him first overall after he threw 6 touchdowns against Air Force. Wow, what a performance. So Air Force. He got picked over the guy that won 5 national titles in 5 years, Carson Wentz. Oh, so I raised that. I wish I could forget that night that Jared Goff was picked first overall over Carson Wentz. I can't even go into it right now because we gotta keep going here. So last year, Goff proved to me that he was a bust. And I felt like he would be a bust the rest of his career, which I felt was going to be short-lived. Here we are, week 7, 2017, Goff's second year in the NFL. And I love him. I love what he's done. I love what the Rams have done. They've done so well on both sides of the ball, all 3 sides of the ball. And they lead the NFC West, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look that up right now. But this is a team that turns it around. And I believe 2 things had to happen, and just two, the only 2 things had to happen, for them to turn it around this year. One, they showed Jeff Fisher the door. Jeff Fisher hasn't done anything since the Rams to the Super Bowl. He hasn't done anything since he took Tennessee to the Super Bowl in 2000. And they got, I believe, Sean McVay, Redskins offensive coordinator. Done a great job as head coach. Definitely shown something to Jared Goff that made him put a spike in him or something. He got Jared Goff going. Jared Goff has been very impressive in his second year. And maybe he'll continue it. Maybe not. We will have to see. Season goes on. But right now, very good team. And yes, the Rams are on top of the NFC East by half a game. This is a team that could go to the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. You think I'm crazy for saying it, but it's far from crazy. The Rams are such a good team right now. They are playing amazing football. All sides of the ball. And the second thing, by the way, I had to bring this up. Rams acquired Sammy Watkins. Huge for them. Huge for them. And he did good. I liked him in Buffalo. So I knew going to L.A., if him and Jared Goff could work well together, this is going to be a good Rams team. And look at that. They're this is now a good Rams team. Those 2 things. Showing Jeff Fisher the door and acquiring Sammy Watkins from Buffalo have made the Rams relevant again And that's why they're my fourth team that could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, February 4th, 2018, in Minneapolis. You think I'm crazy? I mean, that's fun. That's what I'm here for, to give hot takes. It's my passion. It's my goal. So what I'm going to do in my life. That's why I'm doing it now, before I get into college and all that good stuff. Now, I just talked about how the NFC is so wide open. The AFC is just as wide open, though, ladies and gentlemen. Now that the Patriots are not playing so well, the Chiefs even fell. The Chiefs lost to the Steelers at home. Very bad offensive performance. Defense couldn't stop Big Ben, who threw five picks against Jacksonville the week before. The AFC is absolutely wide open. I can't tell you one team I think is going to win the AFC. I can't name them. I mean, look. You look at the division leaders right now in the AFC. New England, of course. Pittsburgh, sure. Tennessee is on tied with Jacksonville and Houston. And Kansas City leads over Denver by a game and a half. Crazy. Like, the division, going back, nobody expected the Jaguars to be tied for first in the AFC South. Nobody expected the Jets to be 3-3. They should be dead. Everyone thought, oh, they're going to go 0-6. They are 3-3, six games in. I can't tell you an NFC team, AFC team, excuse me, I can't tell you the AFC team that could represent their conference in the Super Bowl, because any team could do that. And this brings me to another point. I'm pretty sure it's my final one in the NFL for this show. The NFL is exciting again, people. Very exciting. And why is that? Well, because, like I just said, the conferences are both wide open. Nobody knows who's going to win the NFC. Nobody knows who's going to win the AFC. And that just makes it all exciting. A lot of people like surprises. I know I like surprises. I remember twice, 2011 and 2013, I got two big birthday surprises. I was in tears. It was a great moment in my life. My girlfriend at the time, her friend, who I had become really good friends with, and then my best friend at the time and my other friend. To both of them, in separate years, separate occasions, there'd be surprise birthday parties, and it was just amazing. I loved it. It was amazing. It was awesome. It was such a great time. I like surprises in the NFL, too. I don't want to know who's going to be playing the Super Bowl in October. I don't want to know. I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad nobody knows. I mean, you know, going into the season, everybody said, oh, that's it, New England and Green Bay. That's it. No, maybe the Giants, but it's going to be New England. Now, we don't know. We just don't know. Nobody knows about the NFC either. They're supposed to be the Green Bay and the Giants. Aaron Rodgers is out for Green Bay, and the Giants playing like crap. So now both conferences are wide open. Nobody knows who's going to win which conference, and it's going to be very exciting going down the road. I can't wait. The playoffs are going to be a lot of fun, I can tell. Much better than last year's games. And it's going to be just very exciting the rest of the way, not knowing who is going to represent which conference in the Super Bowl. I can't wait for the Super Bowl, but that's for a different story for a different time. So that's it for my NFL talk there. I want to go into college football now. And I feel like the defending champions are not going to defend as champions now. Syracuse upset Clemson at the Carrier Dome, Syracuse, New York, last Friday night. And I feel like that ended their chances at the college football playoff. The Clemson's, that is, not Syracuse's. Clemson's playoff hopes are gone. Oh, but last year they lost to Pitt in November, and look what happened there. Yeah, because the ACC was crap last year. It's not crap anymore. Yeah, NC State, big, really good team, really talented. Miami has Mark Richt. They won 10 in a row, the longest streak in college football. Virginia Tech last year gave them trouble in the ACC title game. They're doing good again this year, and that was with Deshaun Watson. Kelly Bryant, he's done well, but I don't believe he's a Deshaun Watson. I mean, he beats the good teams and loses to the bad ones. My side of Louisville. Louisville's still a good team, but they've struggled the past couple of weeks. Clemson looks very vulnerable, and I was looking at their schedule, or I have to look it up again. That is not an easy schedule going the rest of the way. The defending champs have a very tough schedule, They should be favored in just about all their games, but that doesn't mean anything, really. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, we've seen several games where a team were favored and they wound up losing. Georgia Tech, they just gave Miami a scare on the road. Now Georgia Tech goes into Clemson trying to give another scare. NC State, that's going to be a big one. Last year, the Wolfpack almost upset the Tigers. They should have upset the Tigers, but missed a field goal at the end of regulation and lost in overtime. Now the game's in Raleigh, North Carolina, wherever the NC State plays. I'm pretty sure it's in Raleigh. That's going to be a very good game to watch. I give Clemson a win over Florida State. Florida State's playing like real crap. Like, that is a really bad team to go from third in the country to start the season to nothing now. And they have a freshman quarterback leading the way. Citadel, that's a win. You can't lose to an FCS team if you're top 10. Unless you're Michigan, but that's another story for another time. And then South Carolina is another good team in the SEC, excuse me. They just beat a very good 10. And they had to go into this too, but my final point here is South Carolina is a very good team. They could easily upset Clemson. Here's another thing, and I want to talk to Miami fans because I've seen this all over my Twitter. Oh, Butch Jones, you're not doing so well. You should be fired. Why? And I'm going to talk about Tennessee here. Now, Butch Jones is the head coach of the Tennessee football team. Tennessee is not playing bad football. They're losing close games. They're losing sad games, really. It's disappointing that they're losing the way they're losing. It's not like they're losing 50-0 every game. They're playing good football. So let's stop knocking them. I mean, they're going to lose this weekend to Alabama because Tennessee has beaten Alabama in 25, 30 years. Come on. Well, let's look at the games that they've lost. They lose by one. They beat Georgia Tech by 1 point. A good game. Good Georgia Tech team, clearly. Lost to Florida on a Hail Mary. That's just bad luck for Tennessee. Georgia's a good team, so being blanked by Georgia, something different. Georgia's going to the playoff. Even if they lose to Bama in the SEC title game, because I do feel it'll be Bama-Georgia in the title game this year, it's Georgia's still going to make the playoff, so it's not good for that. And then they played really good against South Carolina. They should have beaten South Carolina, but Butch Jones decided to throw the ball four times they were like the 1 yard line with a few seconds left. So Butch Jones doesn't make the best decisions. That doesn't mean he should be fired. This team plays so well. I'm rooting for Butch Jones to keep his job. He probably will be fired at the end of the season, but he should not be. And it's a shame. But that, you know, I'm not the athletic director for Tennessee. And that's pretty much it. That's where the Tennessee Vols stand. But yeah, Clemson, say bye-bye to the college football playoff for this year. And ladies and gentlemen, we will now say bye to me. This is the end of the SCU, the latest episode of the SCU Show. I'm your host, SCU. I want to thank you for listening on W2Mnet.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play, or wherever W2Mnet podcasts are available. And until next week, this has been the SCU Show.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.